Hallelujah. This is one of those services where it just kind of God got us kind of like a little bit. We're all over the map a little bit here. Every emotion, we're touching the scale of every emotion. And I was going to preach something entirely different tonight. I'll just have to come back. But for 5 weeks, we have had heaven on earth around here. I believe in the services that I've been privileged to be a part of. It's been heaven on earth. It's been incredible. And it has been something that God is wanting to do with this church. And there has been an inspirational nudge, putting it mildly, if I can say it that way. But there has been such an inspiration, not by a human thrust or a manipulation, but there has been a God ordained orchestration. His Spirit, He's dealing with the church. And tonight, I don't know that I can say that I actually have a sermon. I don't like to preach sermons. That's a little too religious for me. But I like to deliver a message from heaven. And in midstream tonight, the Lord changed my direction. And anybody that knows me, I'm going to go against what I feel like God is always in the vein in which He's always used me tonight. I'm in the Holy Ghost. I feel like I have a word tonight. May not be a long word. But we'll see. I give honor to Pastor and Sister Hughes. If loving people and doing right by people, and if love is what makes the church what it really is, then Brother and Sister Hughes are overqualified. I say that because I don't know if this might be my last service tonight. Y'all can pick up the phone and call everybody and say, "He's gone," and then come back. And then when they get here, just take off, run around the church and say, "You just thought it was over." But in all honesty, I give honor to Brother and Sister Hughes and to this church family. And I know you've stood a while in the presence of the Lord. We're in the presence of the Lord right now. And I want to flow with God. And I think that's what you would want. Give honor to our guests tonight, all of our visitors, this wonderful baby dedication. The Smith family, give honor to Pastors Smith. And it's a wonderful thing to have made their acquaintance, you know, Myron. I say your name right, Myron. Hallelujah. And we've got an armed forces guy back there. I salute you. God bless you. Glad you're here tonight, to all of you that are here. In the book of Matthew chapter number 24, quickly. Don't leave too far from me, brother. Whatever we need to do. I owe you 2 cheeseburgers now. Matthew 24 and verse number 4. I was praying some few months ago, and I asked the Lord, "God," I can't say that I've ever really preached this, but I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord," touching it, yes, but I said, "Lord, what is the single most deterrent to apostolic?" I know we have different definitions these days, and you got to qualify and clarify everything, but I think I'm in a house and company of people tonight that you understand me when I ask the question. And I honestly asked the Lord, "What is the one single deterrent to apostolic revival in the church today. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a very positive individual. I'm very upbeat. People come to me with problems, I say, praise God. Yeah, right, you've never pastored, Brother Bullock. No. I really believe that it's like this. You wake up every morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And it's kind of like this. Joshua said it best. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But before that, he said the word, choose. It's a choice. Recently, I was asked to pray, family, I just got to interject this, a family, pastor and his wife, Brother Hughes, that I'm very close with. I'm going to be very transparent, but you don't have to worry tonight. Pastor and his wife was very close, I am very close to. And what I'm about to say, I've never, in 14 years of evangelizing, I have never uttered these words across the great desk. I've never said this. But the times demand our best. And because of the times in which we live, the pressure is on. And it is squeezing truth in every form and fashion. And so it's like stepping out of the traditional mindset and saying, God, really? What now? How many wants a word from the Lord? You understand what I'm trying to say. And so, about 3 days ago, a pastor and his wife, I began to visit. They were here in Houston, and I began to visit with them. We met up, and in a restaurant, we were sitting over to ourselves, and I'm so thankful the Lord works things out in such a beautiful way. But this pastor and this wife looked at me and almost in unison began to break down in tears. And they looked at me and they said these words, Brother Hughes, we don't know how much more of this we can take. A pastor and his wife. I want to say this. There is an all-out assault on the ministry like never before today. I wish somebody would just say a yay, amen or something, because it is the truth. There is an assault on the ministry today. But I want to take it much further than that. If there is an assault on the ministry, how much more of an assault is there on the people of God? And vice versa. However you want to look, there is an assault by hell to destroy the works of God. The redemptive power of God, the plans of God right before the coming of the Lord. I want to say, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. The Lord is getting ready to tell Gabriel, pick it up. And before Gabriel blows the trumpet, I'd like to blow the trumpet in Zion tonight. And I'd like to earmark what I believe God has gave me in the Holy Ghost. They began to weep and cry, and I looked at them and I said, what do you mean you don't know how much more of this you can take? They said, problems, 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 problems. They told me, Brother Hughes, problems. I said, what are you going to do? Resign the church? What are you going to do? Give up? Throw in the proverbial towel? What are you going to do? I looked at them and I told them, I'm no superhuman. I'm telling you. But there's something inside of me that rebels against Satan and his works to destroy the people of God, the plans of God, and to distort our view of God. There is a rebellion inside of me against hell and against Satan. And I looked at that dear precious pastor and his wife and I said this. I said, we've come too Lord, and turn back now. We've come too far to turn back now. We have come too far to turn back now. No, this is not your traditional, conventional Pentecostal Sunday night service, perhaps. But I do believe that in this very moment, God is doing something that we may not visibly see. But before you walk back out of those doors tonight, I can almost guarantee you that there will be a supernatural manifestation and demonstration that only God could give to us. If you want that, I want you to raise your hands right now. God wants to help somebody right now by His Word. His written word, His spoken word. He wants to help somebody. He wants to help us right here tonight. They said, my daughter's backslid. Our daughter's backslid. Our other daughter's backslid. Their spouses have backslid. It's like nobody's wanting to live for God today. The pressure is on. The pressure is on. The pressure is on. And God began to remind me of what we're about to read here tonight. And He says, tell it. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered. I'm glad He's the one with the answers. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Oh, how true it is. Amen. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I don't say that as though I want to say that. But all these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, but the Word says it. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations. Notice, it's coming down to a drawing of the line. Who, what side you're on, for my name's sake. What's His name again, church? Shout it out again. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity, everybody say, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 12. When someone that has never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when they sin and they're living in sin, and that's what they know, it's a daily lifestyle of sin, the broad sense of it, it's sin. But when someone who has been born again and has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin, yes. But the Lord began to broaden the definition. When someone, where does iniquity come in? When someone that is born again, living for God, in the former lifestyle, those old habits and those old attachments of your former way of doing things and your way of living, when it comes back on you and you succumb and acquiesce to that and submit to that, God calls it iniquity. It's iniquity. And that's what He's really stating there in the larger sense. He said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure, someone say, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. I was reading in the book of Mark recently, just a few short weeks ago, and I come across this, and what an incredible revelation it was to me. I had read this all of my life. In Mark chapter number 11, perhaps many of us in here tonight could quote this. We could all look at it, and immediately when I begin to get into it, you will immediately know the story, the setting, the scene, the characters, and those that are played, if you will, in this, in Mark chapter 11, in verse 20. And I saw this. And as I was reading the other day, the Lord said, there it is. It says, and in the morning as they passed by, Jesus with his disciples, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. So notice, Peter is speaking in terms of a fig tree, and he's drawing attention, the Lord, to the fig tree. And in Jesus' response, it's going to be too simple for some of you tonight, but in Jesus' response, Jesus did not address the fig tree as his immediate response. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth, if you will, was have faith in God. I already preached last Sunday morning in this church that I've had the privilege the last few weeks to minister here unto you and with you in the Holy Ghost. And I preached last Sunday morning, and it bears repeating even tonight, that when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? There is an erosion of our faith. There is, if you will, an all-out assault on our faith. And Satan, I said it last Sunday, and I'll say it again for those of you that was not here. Satan's really not after you. He's really not after me. He's really not after your family. He's really not after your home. He's really not after this church. Satan is not after us. What he's after is our faith. He's after our belief system. Because if he's got us, if he's got our belief system, if he's got our faith, then he's got us. When you have no belief, you have no faith, then what's the use? Why carry on? And so he immediately says, have faith in God. But watch this. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, wait a minute, God, I'm not talking about a mountain, I'm talking about a fig tree. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, oh, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Oh, we've used that and preached it, taught it, faith, and the mountain, and it's been good preaching, good teaching. And I'm thankful for that, but verse 24 starts off, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And Jesus is giving this good little lesson on faith. And Peter's saying, I'm not even talking about faith. I'm not talking about a mountain. I'm not talking about receiving. I'm just talking about this fig tree that's dried up from the roots, and it is cursed. You cursed it. It's dried up from the roots. And God, I'm not even talking about these things you're talking about. Where are you at, God? Yeah, right. The Lord continues. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Verse 25. And when ye stand praying. And when ye stand praying. Forgive. Forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So I got to looking. Lord, what is the one single thing? Because you see, I've not just been here. I do a lot of extensive traveling. The Lord has privileged me to travel so many places. And you're looking at one evangelist that I make it front and center. Every day I thank God for everywhere He privileges me to grace a church, a pulpit, and preach and stand before His people and minister the unadulterated Word of God. I don't take it for granted, but watch this. I pray and I say, God, I'm going to these churches, and folks, I don't mean to be comical, but there are some congregations that if I actually went down to the army base, and if I went in some of the storage back there and I found a couple of sticks of dynamite, I come up in here and I light the fuse. And when it gets time to stand up and preach, Brother Hughes, and throw that stick of dynamite, there's some churches that I've been in that I don't think that would even move them. Come on, church. Come on now. Just hang in here with me. Give me the benefit of the doubt. Don't feel sorry for me yet. God, I feel this. God, I feel this. There are some churches, Brother Smith, that I go, my God, it's like I preached a couple of Wednesday nights ago. And so I went to the mall the other day here in Houston, and I saw some Pentecostal ladies down the way, and I knew they were Pentecostal, not by the way they was dressed, but by the way they looked. They looked mad. Oh, I'm going to say something here. I'm going to put a plug in for it. I'm thankful we can still identify Pentecostal women in public. Well, that was a weak amen and a weak hand clap, but I'm telling you, I'm thankful I can still identify a Holy Ghost filled man somewhere. Oh, how can you? His demeanor, his spirit. Oh, come on. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. My God, I was in Marshall's yesterday, bought a necktie. The necktie I got on right now, a $95 necktie. I know it. It's Ike Behar for $2. Hallelujah to God. And there was a man looking at the ties with me. I looked at him, didn't know him from Adam. I looked at him and said, you got the Holy Ghost, don't you? Being the shy, kind of timid person that I am. I just looked at you. You got the Holy Ghost, don't you? He said, I do. And we got to talking about revival. I got to talking about Webster. And I got to talking about what God's doing here in Webster. Or what He did a week ago. Or what He's still doing in Webster. And what He's going to continue to do in Webster, Texas. God have mercy. I got the Southern draw come. I said, Texas. God, I've been around y'all too long. Hallelujah. Don't have a Cajun in me. It's kind of fading. But watch this. You can identify. But what I'm telling you, folks, the Holy Ghost. I thought, God, what is it? What is it that these churches that I go to and these people are so soured in their walk with God? I'll be honest with you. There's some people that I come to church, these churches, and I mean, Brother Hughes, and I'm just being transparent tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. And thank God Pastor Hughes is not this way. But there's some ministry leaders and some preachers and some people that I get around them, and my God, it's like my God. I mean, where, you know, it's the farthest thing from joy. What? what's happened to our, well, I'm going to say it just like that. What's happened to our joy? I mean, the very basis of this thing is, my God, didn't God deliver you of something somewhere in your life? Are you not happy about it anymore? And if you're not happy, then maybe you got something back in your life that's got, you got a yoke on you. Maybe there's a yoke or two on you. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but God did deliver me of something. God did deliver me of some things that you have no idea what God did for me. And I can't help it. Every time I come in the house of God, I gotta pray. You know what? There are sometimes I come out and I say, you know what? I'm just gonna kick back a little bit tonight. I'm gonna take it easy. And before I know it, I'm getting, you know, I can't hold it back because there's something on the inside of me that says, you know what? Your spirit has been revived. Your spirit has been rejuvenated. Your spirit has been regenerated. And oh, there's something inside of me. Come on, folks. I'm just gonna tell you, square between your eyes, we will never get a graduate certificate from giving God our praise and our worship over the things He's done for us in our lives. Oh, and I love to praise Him, Brother Wesley. I love to praise my God. Well, why don't we all clap our hands to the Lord right now, everybody? Has the Lord really done anything for you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's some people here tonight. If we were to give you the microphone and open this thing to an old school, old fashioned testimonial service, my God, they used to get dangerous. That's why we don't have a whole lot of them, I guess, anymore. My God, but I'm going to tell you something. What do you mean dangerous? Well, you can look at it either which way, but the dangerous that I'd like to talk about right now is them old testimony services. As some people get up, and you know what? Some people, they didn't filter their testimony. They went ahead and told all their business. Hallelujah. They went ahead and said, you know what? I was down at the motel and I was cheating on my wife, but all of a sudden those prayers my mama been praying. Oh, come on. Come on now. All of a sudden something got a hold of me and I had to get back to the house of God. I had to get back to the Lord in prayer. Something happened. I was a drunk. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Yes. 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 So, I think, Lord, it's kind of like tonight. If you've done so much for us, if you've been so good to us, then why, when we come to church in the 21st century, in 2008, why is it? Folks, I'm not talking about just emotionalism tonight. I'm wanting to get past that. Why is it that we come to church and there's such a blasé feeling for the lack of a better way to say it? There's such a relaxed feeling. I'll tell you the kind of relaxed feeling I'm talking about. It's a relaxed feeling that if someone comes in the church and if they sit in their spot, that the rest of the service is ruined for them. I talk about the kind of relaxed feeling. I tell you what the kind of relaxed feeling I'm talking about. The kind of relaxed feeling that when you come in here, that if someone didn't shake your hand, or if pastor or another ministry leader or sister, pastor's wife didn't speak to you, but they spoke to someone automatically, we think, man, they like them more than they like us. God, it's quiet. I'm going to say it like my friend Greg Godwin. It's quiet, but it's right. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you something. I was praying at the old prayer chapel, Brother Smith, there in Tioga, Louisiana, at the old district campgrounds. It turned into a 24/7, every day of the year prayer chapel. A few months ago, I was praying. In fact, it was a year ago I was praying. And I said, God, what is it? And the Lord began to deal with me. He said, you know, you read out of Matthew 24 a while ago. He said, go back and read it again. He talked about signs of the end time. Wars. Rumors of wars. Famines. Pestilences. Earthquakes in diverse places. The tsunamis. And he's listing out these end time catastrophic events. He's listing them out, brother. And as he's going down the list, oh, I'm feeling my help right now. I was starting to feel sorry for myself. And he's going down this list, Sister Celicia. And as he's going down this list, he's talking about major signs of the end time. Right before the coming of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, and he came the first time, but he's coming back the second time. Oh, 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 I gotta say that again. I'd love for him to come tonight. Even so, come quickly, Lord. Oh, I'm ready to go home. I don't know about you, but I'm really ready to go to heaven with you. Caught up, bow, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Together, together, together. Somebody shout together with them in the clouds. Meet the Lord in the air. What a thought, what a thought, what a thought, what a thought, brother buddy, what a thought. We either getting ready to stay or we're getting ready to go. And so he's listing out major of major importance. Apparently so. He's listing them out. He's going down the list. Matthew 24. He's talking about signs and end time. All these great signs, young men. He's talking about it. But watch this. He gets down there and he says a definite, unmistakable, undeniable, irrefutable. Can't argue the fact. A sign of the end time. People being cantankerous. People just coming and sitting on God. No, 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 no. It's much worse than that. It's worse than what I was trying to very lightly describe a while ago. People and just come. No, and I know that sounds negative. And I love you. I love you. I love you. Guts, warts, and all. I love you. You know I love you. No, but listen, listen, listen. Sister Hughes, the sign of the end time. He started off and he listed of a major importance. He said this. Doesn't just stop with one. It leads into another one. It's more deadly and infectious. It leads into a third one. It didn't stop at two. But he says it there. I just read it. And many, are you ready? And many shall be offended. I have never in all my living days, and I love to go to the nursing home and sit with our elder pioneers. I love sitting in their homes. I love sitting brothers and sisters, some of those old pine, they etched out home missions works. I love to sit and shut my mouth and listen. And I love to glean from their wisdom and their knowledge. But in hearing them, apparently from what they've conveyed to me, and then, of course, what I've experienced in the last 14 years of evangelizing and traveling all over the world, it seems like I have never seen the likes of people. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Not out of the church. But in the church. Offended. Brother, offended. Folks, we are living in a day where babies are, can I say it? Little ones are controlling the households. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Little ones. I'm going to say it like I do feel it in the Holy Ghost. Little ones come and say, well, Johnny said that Sally, and then and all of a sudden they go to Mama, and Mama lights a fire in the daddy, and all of a sudden you got this family over here that's got a smug look about this family over here. I'm going to have church by myself. Jesus created the heavens and the earth. Step back. He said, that's good. Without a choir, without an ensemble, without a praise team, without a songbook, without an amen. He just kind of patted himself on the back. If I have to have church by myself, I'll just be like the Lord. But I'm telling you, I know what I'm preaching in the Holy Ghost. There is some people here tonight. Oh, God, help me. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Say, God, throw it on thick, but throw it on good right now. Come on now. Watch this. Oh, do we know what we're praying for? I'm going to tell you what. The devil will cause you, brother, to get an attitude against somebody over here. It'll cause this one to get an attitude about this one over here. And you know what? It's what I felt, and I feel like maybe this is part two of last Sunday night. There is running rampant in the church because of offenses. A spirit of jealousy. My God. Oh, my God. It's quiet, but it's right. It's tight, but it's right. There's a spirit of jealousy that's in the church. I'm going to tell you, jealousy is still as cruel as the grave. Oh, and it's a sin. I wish somebody act like I'm preaching a little bit right now. At least preaching the truth right now. Maybe that's why it's a little quiet. I am preaching the truth. Get an attitude built in about this and about that. And all of a sudden, get an attitude built in. My God, we're living in a day where if my favorite preacher is not passing through, I will lay out a church. And if pastor is on a series teaching something that I don't like, I will withhold my offering. I ain't never preached like this in my life. I will withhold my tithes. You are in sin. Because I read last week in the book of Haggai. You know what I've been doing? I've been reading what I'm supposed to be doing this last week. I've been getting ready for tonight. Because watch this. In the book of Haggai, it says this. He says, you are taking care of your house. He says, you are doing everything to take care of number one. He said, you're taking care of your house. He said, but when you go to clothe yourself, you're not warm. He said, when you go to feed yourself and eat, you're still hungry. He says, and when you go to put money in your pockets and in your bags, there's holes in your bags. Come on, somebody. Why? Because he said it plainly. He said, you're taking care of your stuff and your house, but my house lies waste. I may not ever be asked back after this service tonight, but that's all right. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. If there was ever a day that we need to fix our focus on the things of God as priority, it is now. It is now. It is now. When they heard the prophet and when they heard the Lord, the Bible says he stirred up, God stirred up three spirits. The spirit, my My God, are you ready for this? The Bible says he stirred up the spirit, the governor of Judah. Praise. He said he stirred up the spirit of Joshua. Deliverance. And the spirit of the remnant of the people. When people, when they give to God and when they give to God's house and they put God's house as priority, come on somebody. The Bible says that God, if there was ever an hour we need praise in the church and if there's ever an hour we need old-fashioned deliverance in the church, it is now! Now! Oh! Hallelujah, Jesus. Many shall be offended. I go to some churches, and brother, I'm telling you, I am losing my hair as an evangelist. Try pastoring. I know I've been told that. Yeah, okay. But listen, folks. We can't have revival. God, that's the question. What is the one deterrent to apostolic revival? We're getting there. Brother Wesley, there are so many offenses in the church. So many people are harboring offenses. So many people are harboring things in their heart that when you get right down to it, you don't even know what you're holding a grudge against somebody about, really. Come on. And that's the spirit that's let loose in the church because somewhere, Brother Smith, am I telling the truth? Somewhere, somebody got in their crawl. Well, I should have got that leadership position. I should have been my position. I should have done that. I should have coordinated that. I should have done that. You know what? When we really need to step back and say, I'm just glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm a part of the bride of Christ. I'm glad I'm in the church. I'm glad God saved me. If I don't do anything, else, that's enough for me. If I'm never asked to sing in the choir, if I'm never asked to teach a lesson, if I'm never asked to go on a trip somewhere, oh God, just to be a part of the church, the remnant church of this end time. The true apostolic church of this end time. Somebody help me pray right now. That's it, Brother Wesley. That's all right. Listen, I'm coming to a quick close. Watch it. Just stay what you got. You don't have to move, do nothing. Just stay where you're at. Many shall be offended. Sign of the end time. Pastor Hughes, I got to reading that, and it doesn't stop there, Elder. It said, many shall be offended. And watch this. Because of offenses. Because of offenses. Brother Long. Because of offenses, Elder. Because of offenses. Many. Here it is. Shall. Many. Sign of the end. You want to know where we're really at tonight? You want to know what we're really up against? Brother, you want to know what we're really dealing with? We're not dealing with personalities. We're not dealing with, oh, you're my flavor, you're not my flavor. We're not dealing with preferential things. No. What we're really doing, he says, and because many shall be offended, many shall betray one another. Yes, say that again. Say it again. Think about it. Betrayal. I'm going to say stuff you don't know. We was taught against what I'm about to say. But I'm in the Holy Ghost, so all that's going to out the window. I'm going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Sister Hughes, about 5 years ago, I had a... an individual... in the church, Christian, folks, I got a record clean as a whistle. I can give you anything you want, but watch this. they started. It would be a compliment to fabricate a lie. It would be a compliment. But as we say in Louisiana, the bald-faced lie, to actually create a lie. And there was this terrible lie. I'm going against protocol. They said something hideous about me. At the time, I went to my district superintendent, Brother Tenney. I used to chauffeur him around in his car. At times, I kept my mouth shut and I listened to what he had to say. Well, any of you have ever heard Brother T.F. Tenney? Watch this. I went to him and said, Brother Tenney, I said, Brother, I was bold. I was hot. I want to rip their head off. I said, Brother Tenney, that ain't right. That ain't right. I got up in his face. I said, Brother Tenney, that ain't right. He said, cool it, Bullock. Son, sit down. I said, it's all right. I know it's hard to believe me being that way. With my calm disposition. I said, it's all right. And Brother Tenney pointed his finger in my face. And he said this. He said, son, he says, accept it. In this journey, on this journey of life, people will talk about you. People that call you your friend, they're your friend, they will turn on you. They will hurt you. In fact, they will rob from you. They will take from you. They will subtract from your life. They will be like a vortex. They will deplete so many units of energy from you. And he said, son, he says, I'm going to tell you what. He says, take a deep breath. He says, listen, accept it. But here's the deal. What you must never accept is vengeance yourself. He said, son, the only way to deal with it. He says, and when I say it, you're still going to be mad about it. He said, but it won't get through, so I got to say it 2 or 3, 4, 5 more times. He says, get on your face before God and say, God, I forgive. Wait. He was right. I said, the idiots don't deserve forgiveness. Any real people here tonight? I must be preaching to real religious folks tonight. They never had a problem in the world. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, I said, Brother Smith, am I telling the truth? I mean, there's people, they are thoroughbred idiots. Certified. Homogenized. Pasteurized. And petrified as a result. I want to pray for you for it too. Listen, this man's honest enough. Watch this. I wish somebody else could be this honest. Because watch this. Brother Tenney looked at me and he said, listen, he said, son, forgive him. I said, I don't know how to forgive a lie like that. I don't know how to forgive a lie like that. I'm offended. And they betrayed me. And I really am not just a wannabe. Some people thrive on being a victim. I really am a victim. And I said, Brother Tenney, this is what you got to do. He says, you got to ask God to help you to forgive them. Because you can't really do it on your own. He says, and when you ask God to help you forgive them, He will begin then the process of enabling you to forgive and heal and make it right. Somebody say Jesus. Many shall be offended and it leads to betrayal. But it doesn't stop there. Brother, it doesn't stop at offenses. It doesn't stop at betrayal. The third one is this. And many shall hate
It goes, hate one another. It goes from offenses. It goes from there to God. I know this may be too simple for somebody, but I'm preaching to you whether you believe it or not. And what it, from offenses to betrayal to hatred, and people would begin to hate one another. And that's why there's so much tension. And watch this. That's why when Jesus was with his disciples, after he had set the order of the house in Jerusalem, he was there and he turned over the table, the money changers, and he set the order of the house right. And he walked out the next day, and Peter, it was uncanny. Peter, he was the one when they were going in, spoke of the fig tree, and he was the one, uncanny, he's the one speaking of it as they were all leaving Jerusalem, the same way they came. Peter looks over there, we read it, he says, Lord, the tree that you cursed yesterday, he said, it's dried up from the roots and it's withered. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Watch this. What is the greatest threat? What is the greatest thief? What is the greatest thing that will steal away from us? Not only our peace, what is the greatest thing that would steal away and rob us of our faith? It is the one thing that I'm trying to get to tonight. When Jesus looked and he said, have faith in God, stay with me. And he went from that, speaking of the mountain, when you speak to the mountain, be thou removed. Watch this. What Jesus was really saying was this. When he got down, he said, speak to it, it'll be removed, cast into the sea. And it got on down, and it got there, and it dawned on me. It dawned on me. It was all there. It was there all along, and it finally dawned on me. Jesus was looking at that fig tree as you and me, and it's this. And he got to what he was really wanting to get to. And he said this. He says, when you stand praying, forgive one another. If you have aught against any, forgive. Because watch this. The reason we have barren altars in our churches, and the reason we have dry services more than we have like we've been having around here lately, is because we're barren. The reason we don't have the freedom and the liberty and the works of the Spirit and God ministering by His supernatural demonstration, the manifestation of His glory in our midst, the reason that it's dry in the church, brothers and sisters, is because, and God, here it is, I've already said it, that tree is likened unto you and me, because we've got things in our hearts that we don't even know of. Oh, we do know them, but we've tried to ignore them, and we've pushed them to the side so much that they're in the shadows, but they are there. And watch this. Every time we try to make a move forward, that old thing that we've let to hang around our lives and live in the hearts, the home of our hearts, if you will, the thing that's there, it's there. Those things we're hiding, those things we're dealing with. Jealousy, it's turned into bitterness, and it's turned into what? Betrayal and offenses and hatred and, oh God, all these things together. What is the message tonight? If I could preach one message tonight that would count, it would be what we need in the church. His hour is a fresh revival of forgiveness in our hearts. Oh God, we need a revival of forgiveness For one another. Every eye closed. Somebody help me pray right now.